Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm here with my man, The Professor.
What's happening, everybody? What's going on, boss?
What's going on, Professor?
Not much, sir, not much.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, if I do say so myself.
Starting already. He's only got a couple days.
Starting already. I'm going to hold my peace until we get to the section. I promised you that we was going to do that, so I'm going to do that today.
You did.
Oh, man.
When we get to the end, everybody, I'm going to be signing off early and just let him go.
Man, yeah, because this is going to be like a whole extra 2 hours of
That's right.
just magnificence. But, you know, I digress. Yeah, let's just jump right into it. We've got a couple items in geek news, TV and movie alike, and we're just going to run through the full gambit and, you know, tell you guys what we think.
What thing?
Yeah. So let's start it off. We'll start it off with the weekend box office. Not much of a surprise here. Everything that was up there in the previous weeks has been replaced with all the new releases from last week.
Right.
We got 50 Shades Freed. Hitting at number one with a weekend gross of $38.8 million. Number two, we got Peter Rabbit coming up there with $25 million. And rounding it all out, it's the 15-17 to Paris, rounding it out with $12.6 million. So what are your thoughts on that, Professor?
Not a whole lot real shocking there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the 50 Shades trilogy is... You know, the books alone got everybody going, you know, as far as, you know, the female fan base, let's be honest about it, what's really, you know, geared for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, no real shock that I think that takes number one spot when it comes out brand new because people want to finish it out and see the last piece.
Yep.
Peter Rabbit, you know, kids movie, that's always going to get, you know, all kinds of money on an open weekend for the most part, even though that's now got some controversy surrounding it that's just completely silly, but... I don't know if you've seen this bit that they're now, they want the movie shut down because apparently there's a scene in the movie where some character's allergic to blackberries and all the other characters start throwing blackberries at it, even though they know it's allergic. So people are calling it allergy bullying. And,
oh, wow.
I mean, come on. Get over yourselves. Stop looking for things to be upset about. Stop looking for things to be a problem so you can try to get your name out there. Just, it's a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. They throw fruit at a kid so he...
I need that kind of
throat.
I need that kind of time and money to be right. So bored with life that I just need to find some stuff to get mad at.
These people that just spend their day looking for things to get angry with, it just, I don't understand how you live that way. I really don't. Everybody would literally be happy if you just went about your own business,
right.
minded your own and left it all alone. There wouldn't be any problems.
Yeah, man.
But whatever. You know, in 15-17 to Paris, probably got a lot of the military-type interested people who are in the military movies, things like that, to take a look. Because like you said last week, those are the actual guys playing the actors in the movie. So
yeah.
I'm sure that grabbed a lot of curiosity and some intrigue. People went to see it. So nothing. I don't think there's anything real surprising here.
Yeah, man. I'm not really surprised. 50 Shades Freed, I was definitely expecting to hit the box office at number one the way that it did. With a budget of $55 million. It's definitely going to make back what it put out, and then some. Same with Peter Rabbit. Peter Rabbit's at 50 mil, so it's already halfway through there, and this hasn't even been internationally released yet, so I'm sure it's going to bring in more once it's international. So, 15-17 to Paris. I actually really want to go check that out because I got to watch an interview of these guys. And, you know, for the, I think they were as poised as they were on screen, they said that their biggest fear on set was like disappointing Clint Eastwood. And I'm sure that's anybody's like, they don't want him to give them the stare that he normally does. So
exactly. Yeah.
It looks good. The story behind it is incredible. So I'd definitely be interested to watch that one. But I'm definitely not surprised by these numbers. It looks like all in all a pretty steady day at the movies this past weekend. So we'll see how everything goes next weekend. I know we're going to be in the the hundreds of million.
Yeah, look, none of these are going to stay in the top spot for more than the next 4 days. So, you know, don't get used to them where they are.
Right, right. I definitely will say that I believe either I'm going to say 50 Shades will still be 3. I think 50 Shades will still be 3. Yeah, I'm going to hold the 50 Shades still being number 3.
Okay.
For next weekend, either number 3 or number 2. I don't see Peter Rabbit like making a move as much, but if they all shift down one, I wouldn't be surprised, or two. One shift down two.
Yeah. But the number 1 movie is going to have grossed more than all 3 of them combined by the time we talk next week, so
pretty much.
Yeah.
So let's get right into some geek news, man. We got some TV stuff. We got some movie stuff. A lot of stuff going down. Some good bits of news. Some sad bits of news. So we'll just go through them and give you our thoughts, man. So let's start off with TV. Getting a lot of information, getting a lot of interviews and articles about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Now, this is going to be a Netflix reboot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It's basically going to be by the same showrunners and creators of Riverdale, which is really doing well right now. Not just domestically, but internationally, Riverdale is killing it as far as their CW streaming service is concerned. So, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised that they're going this route, because this is pretty much the reception of Riverdale is pretty much fueling the direction of Sabrina. So if they're going to continue this off, they're going to go and make sure that it's available to the fan base who's really watching it the most, and that's the international fans. So putting it on Netflix, that's probably the best way to go. It's some casting news. Yeah. They're already teasing, like, you know, certain characters. I remember watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch when I was coming up, and it was a fun show while it was on. It was like one of those Friday. It was like, what is it? It was like one of those TGIF shows. It was like,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, they're going a completely different way with the tone of this one, though, because if it's anything like Riverdale, there's going to be thriller aspects, but I'm pretty sure with the supernatural aspect, they're going to go more along the lines of horror than anything. So that'll be interesting to see retold.
Yeah, I mean, I never actually watched the TV show. I was a little out of the age range for that, I think, when that hit. Yeah. So. I don't really know anything about it, but if it's kind of a cool kind of horror show on Netflix, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, man.
See what I get.
Yeah, definitely. Next up is a Krypton trailer. So we got a little preview and an introduction to the House of Zod. So Krypton is going to be basically taking place years before Krypton is destroyed, and we're going to be dealing with the heads of house, or the heads of legacy of the Houses of El and the Houses of Zod, and just other members of Kryptonian society. So this trailer looks pretty good. I mean, as far as the action is concerned, who we're seeing, who is like the face of the House of Zod, she's pretty G. I mean, she was chopping cats in the throat and stuff like that. So, I mean, it looks good. I'm kind of excited. This is one of the few sci-fi shows that I'm really excited about. I mean, we already heard about Happy. Professor's been singing the praises of Happy. Hopefully, Krypton will be a welcome addition to that roster. So, what do you think, Professor?
I mean, we'll see. You know, sci-fi shows and sci-fi movies have always been, you know, real hit or miss. You know, I mean, they gave us, like for me, they gave us Happy, but at the same time, they also gave us, you know, Sharknado. So...
Sharknado, the uprising.
Yeah, now granted, there's been 5 freaking Sharknados at this point, because for some reason people can't stop watching these god-awful things. But you never know. Like, I'm at the moment, like we said kind of earlier, I'm kind of in the house of, is this something we really needed? Like, do we really need a history of Krypton TV show? But I don't know. I mean, I have to see it to see kind of what it looks like. The trailers look interesting. You know, I'll have to see how the acting looks and see how the stories are going. But, you know, maybe it'll be pretty good. I'll give it a look at least. Give it a try. I'll give Supergirl a try. I'll give Krypton a try.
Yeah, there you go. We'll get you watching Supergirl soon enough, man.
We'll see.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll get. I'm definitely feeling like diving into some Supergirl later in this cast, because I really want to get into it, because especially they're going to be on hiatus for a little bit. So it'll be nice to catch everybody up who's been watching. So let's move on to the next line. Conan the Barbarian series coming to Amazon. Not much information out on this yet, but we just know that it is coming to Amazon. Right. I'm interested. It's been a long time since we had like a pretty decent, I want to say like sword and sandal adventure show on TV outside of Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones for me is like, you know, it's more medieval than anything. This is like,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. This is more, you know, like you just said, sword and sandal. This is more sorcery and sorcery and steel, maybe you would call it.
Yeah.
You know, where Game of Thrones is more, you know, medieval, trying to take over the countryside and the you know, the country kind of thing.
Right.
It's definitely a different type of genre. I mean, I was always a big fan of the Conan movies. Maybe not so much the Momoa one. You know, he was decent, but the movie wasn't very good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've been talking for ages and ages about how there was supposed to be a new Conan movie that was going to have Arnold in it. He was going to be the older Conan with his son. I don't know if this has anything to do with that, because I haven't heard anything about the movie, you know, set up in a while. I would love to see him involved in it somehow. You know, for a while there was, you know, Triple H from the WWE was going to be Conan in a movie, or The Rock was going to be part of a Conan movie. You know, there's been a lot of stuff been, you know, for Conan bouncing around for years. So, not there's a series coming. I'm really curious as to where it's going to go and who's going to be in it, because, you know, if they add Arnold to it, it's going to be awesome in one shape, way, shape, or form. So, tough to give that a peek when that rolls around finally.
Yeah, man. So we're definitely looking forward to this. We'll let you know any other news as far as stars and casting is concerned, showrunners. But it should be good. I mean, Amazon's pretty good with their original content, so I would not be surprised if this is a good one. So,
yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Behold, Legends of Tomorrow returns tonight, and with Constantine.
Yes. That's what I'm looking forward to. My man Matt Ryan, once again, is Constantine, the best, what I feel, the best on-screen depiction of Constantine we've had so far. Nothing against Keanu. I love the Constantine Keanu movie.
Yeah.
That's one of those guilty pleasures where it's not really a great movie, but it's a lot of fun. But Matt Ryan is Constantine. Like he stepped off the pages and became the character.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he completely embodies what I feel like Constantine is, especially from the original comics. I'm looking forward to seeing the full integration of magic in the Legends of Tomorrow world, because we've been dealing with, you know, science, high sci-fi, time travel, parallel universes. So it'll be fun to see, you know, a magic system within this this show. So I'm looking forward to the return tonight. I'll definitely be watching wide-eyed and hopeful, and see where Legends go, man.
And you have to hope that at some point there's going to be some kind of confrontation between Constantine and what's his name?
Damian Dark.
Oh God. Damian Dark, yes.
Yeah, man.
I'm hoping there's some kind of more than one on the show this year with those two, because that'll be great.
Yeah, with returning to Mac in the background. Oh man. On a more somber note, sending out a RIP to Reg E. Caffey, man. One of my favorite TV actors, TV and film actors.
Sure.
I quote a lot of his lines because he just has that voice. But he recently passed away, man. So the you know, everybody's going to be like, oh, man, well, what was the last thing that he was working on? Come to find out, the last thing that he was working on was actually Luke Cage Season 2. And he'll be playing Luke Cage's father on Luke Cage Season 2. So that should be a very heartfelt and, you know, sincere tribute that they give to him on that show, a little in memoriam. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be good. I'm interested in seeing where that show goes, because if we're looking, we're going to be looking deeper into Luke's past and we get to see his father, that's going to be some good storytelling right there.
I would agree. I mean, look, the first season I thought was fantastic. Right. You know, I still think they killed Cottonmouth off a little too soon, because that guy was amazing. But yeah, I'm not giving a spoiler alert for that, by the way. It's already been out for over a year. If you haven't seen Luke Cage, it's not my problem.
Yeah, we've already like spoiler alarmed this like a couple times, so come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I'm really going to look forward to seeing him in the show. I know he was big on The Wire, which I still have to sit down and watch through.
Yeah.
He was a big character on there, and he's everything that I've always saw him in. He was just good. You know, you knew him. He was one of those guys where you always knew his face, but you didn't always necessarily know his name.
Right.
But he was just good in everything you'd see him in. He was an excellent addition. So definitely a loss. He was only, I think, in his early 60s, something like that.
Yeah,
so
I believe it was
relatively younger guy.
Yeah, I believe it was cancer that he lost the battle to. So
okay.
Yeah, man, he was relatively young when he passed. So that, you know, that was tough news hearing that.
Yeah.
But you know, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Reg.
Absolutely.
So next up, ending out the rounding out the TV news, got news that the Firefly story is continuing, but it's continuing with a canon novel series. So basically we'll be getting a series of books that continue the story in the world of Firefly. I'm excited about this because I've been looking for new good books to get into, and getting back into the Firefly realm is just going to be great. Like, I can't wait to imagine all these characters back in their roles and seeing them all together again. We've been hearing about reboots here and reunions and all of this. So, you know, this will tide me over until they figure out what they're going to do next, if they do anything. If they don't, I'm completely fine, because at least I got these books to munch on.
True, true. I kind of hope that some of the books are going to kind of give some of the things that we never found out about, you know, exactly what they mean. Like, to this day, I still want to know exactly who Shepherd Book was.
Yeah.
You know, the end of one of the last things you ever hear about Shepherd Book is Jubal Early standing over him going, "That ain't no Shepherd." And you're like, "Wait a minute, what?" What? You know, this whole series he's been known as a Shepherd, supposed to be a holy man. And now Early takes one look at him and goes, "I ain't no Shepherd." So I want to know who he was. You know, he had this massive clearance with the Alliance. You know, he got hurt in the one episode. He got shot. They took him in. The Alliance scanned his card, and he was in and out of there like he was somebody important to the Alliance. And we never found out. It's one of the few things about the show that have always bugged me, is that I never found out who he was. So I hope part of that comes up at some point. I mean, we know, look, obviously, rest in peace to the actor. Rest in peace to the character. You know, Glass, what was his name? Glass, something Glass.
Yeah, Ronald Glass, I think.
Ron Glass, yeah. You know, so obviously we're not going to see him again, unfortunately, but, you know, maybe we'll get a little prequel kind of thing, you know, go back to show Shepherd Book as a young man. We could find out exactly who he was.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love that. Yeah, man. So let's move on to some movie news, man. I got a couple of things here we're going to talk about, and we'll just take that journey. So first up, Game of Thrones showrunners have been hired to do Star Wars movies. Now, I don't know. I believe this is like there's another trilogy that they're going to be working on as well. Johnson has a trilogy, and they're giving the Game of Thrones guys a trilogy as well. What this means is they won't be working on that HBO Confederate show that they were going to work on. I don't really care, because I wasn't really hyped about that one anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll be interested to see what these guys bring to the Star Wars universe. And if it's anything like the flavor that we've been getting with Game of Thrones, I'm definitely down.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if it's got any kind of those obviously it's not going to be the same themes.
Right.
But if it's got some of that feel to it that those guys are able to do so well and spin so well in Game of Thrones, could make some really, really interesting Star Wars movies. So I'll definitely be curious. Obviously, won't see any of the original characters. I'm imagining it's going to be a whole new set of people.
Yep.
But still going to be some fun to see that go down.
Yeah, new arc, new stories. I'm interested in this universe that they're building. I've been telling you, like, I've been getting heavy into the Star Wars lore, just finished all of Clone Wars, which like is a massive show in and of itself, but it just goes on to explain so much more about the Star Wars world. Now I'm getting into some of the comics and some of the novels that they have out available. So I'm looking forward to seeing where one Rian Johnson takes his trilogy and where these guys take their trilogy as well. So this will be good.
I would not be surprised to see maybe these guys go back and do the old Knights of the Old Republic line that everybody wants to see, because they'd probably be pretty good at that.
Oh yeah, that would actually
I would not be surprised to see that. Yeah. So hopefully we'll know more sooner than later.
Yeah. That's what's up. So next up we got the Venom trailer that dropped last week. So I mean, there's definitely potential. I mean, they hung a lot on Tom Hardy as their vehicle. So kudos to them. But I would have liked to have seen Venom. I know this is a teaser, so we don't necessarily have to have it, but I would have liked to see Venom in this trailer.
So. I would have liked to have seen something that was a little more coherent. Like the trailer doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Like there's no, unless you know the character, even if you know the character, there's really nothing in the trailer that tells you what's going on in the movie.
Right.
You know, there's one quick scene of what looks to be the symbiote in a box, you know, kind of sloshing around with some scientists and a guy who looks like a board member standing behind it. And the rest of the trailer is basically just Tom Hardy screaming. it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And again, like you said, it's a teaser. I get that, but it didn't really tease a whole lot. Like, it doesn't, I don't get what they're trying to go for in the movie just by the teaser.
Right.
And normally they try to give you at least a little bit of something, but I don't know. I mean, I'm skeptical because that teaser wasn't very good in my opinion. So now, you know, on one hand, it's good because they're not giving a whole lot of the movie away. But on the other hand, they're not giving any of the movie away to understand what's going on. So, you know, I'd like to see a more full-length trailer. I don't know if they're going to do that this weekend because the rumor was that the Venom trailer was going to drop with Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're just going to get this with Black Panther, if we're going to get an actual trailer. But I think something, you know, showing Venom or something showing the face would have been a good way to maybe end the teaser, to give some kind of like real teaser to it, as opposed to what we got. I think what we got doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So
yeah, like a little shadow, or maybe Venom coming out of the shadows and us barely getting a glimpse of his form. You know what I'm saying?
Even if it's just the eyes, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just the eyes coming out of a shadow or something would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, man. But, you know, hopefully we'll get something more, because this is supposed to come out when? End of the year, right? It's supposed to come out when?
I think October,
yeah.
I think, is the release date. So
coming out October. So normally they start doing stuff, like, I think at the six-month mark. So
right.
So right. Hopefully we'll see something around that time. So this is just a little teaser. I'll let them go with this one. Yeah, I'm going to need something.
Yeah, I think so. I would tend to agree.
Yeah. So, Deadpool 2, the director that has been working on that film, I can't remember his name. I want to say it's Rob something, but I may be wrong. But he may be directing The Rock's Fast and the Furious spinoff following Luke Hobbs. So that's interesting news, in the fact that we've been getting some great trailers as far as looks at into Deadpool 2, and I'm definitely making an assumption that Deadpool 2 is going to be incredible. So if he can take that story and really run with it and make it great, I'm not going to hesitate to say that this spinoff is going to be good. So
yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I was going to say, I've never really watched any of the Fast and Furious movies. I'm not really a car guy. I know they're not entirely based on cars, but I know that's like the main focus of a lot of these.
Right.
But I've never watched any of them. But, you know, this guy's Deadpool 2, I think, so far looks amazing from the trailer we've seen. Yeah. So, you know, if it's as good as it looks, he's probably got the right guy to try and do a nice action spinoff with The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully if they get him, because right now it's looking like he's in talks. So it's a possibility that he'll be directing it. So if they get him, that'll be a good look on them. But you know, as the more news we get on this, we'll be able to let you guys know. But right now, it's just a like in talks type of deal.
Right.
So yeah. So same thing with our next piece of news. Joaquin Phoenix is in talks to star in the Joker origin film. So, yeah.
I'm not the biggest Joaquin Phoenix fan. I have, you know, loved him in Gladiator.
Right.
I haven't really loved him in anything else that I've seen him in. I think the guy's also a wacko. When you see him in his interviews and stuff, I think he's a bit of a nutcase.
Hey, but not he's
a,
perfect.
Not a Joker type nutcase. Just a whole other different thing. I just think there's got to be better actors, not necessarily better actors, but better choices for this type of role. I don't know. Maybe he'll be. I mean, look, we all said the same thing about you know, more or less when it was Heath Ledger was announced, you know, that he was going to be Joker, but it kind of went huh, and you know. If we're not talking just the voice, Ledger's been the iconic Joker over the you know the last however many years.
Yeah,
it certainly hasn't been Jared Leto. so he could be fantastic. You never know. I'm just not a big fan of Joaquin Phoenix. I was very happy when he did not get Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So of course, but you know everybody wanted Cumberbatch for that to begin with, and you know of course he got it. So, look, obviously I'll go see it. You know, just out of curiosity, I don't necessarily know that we need a Joker origin film per se either. It sounds kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
But you know, it'll do a ton of money. You know, no matter who's starring in it. So we'll see.
Yeah, especially you know, considering DC the fact their, that this is like ship-rated. This is like an Elseworlds production. Like this thing is like, it's not even main DCEU. This would be like a side off story. And it wouldn't even focus on any of the characters within the DC universe except for a Joker. We might see Batman. But, and then even Batman might be somebody different in this movie. So, there's a lot that I'm worried about, at least when it comes to the DCEU, because it doesn't seem to be any type of cohesion, or any unified story going on with their choices. They're just kind of like, let's just cast our net and hope for the best type of deal. So,
yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, Elseworld stuff works in the animated world only because it's easy to separate those things. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
The way that you do it is simply by the animation style. So if it's animated a certain way, you know that, oh, these are the same guys that worked on this, you know? So all the Justice League New 52, animated films that we've been getting, they have a certain style, like, and then Gotham by Gaslight had a different artistic style, and then you can see the movies that are done by Bruce Timm, like, they look like the old adventures, animated adventures of Batman, you know what I'm saying? So they all have different styles, so we can take those separate movies and roll with them. But it's like, when you're doing this in live action, it's like, basically, they're making this Joker movie as a DC star vehicle. So we're going to get a well-recognized director. We're going to get a top-of-the-line actor to tell our type of stories. And it's cool, but it's like, all right, well, what's the end game? And it doesn't seem to be like any end game here. So
nah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if it ends up leading to a recasting of the Joker in their mainstream movies, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the feel that they need to have all these one-off movies that have nothing to do with the main universe. That to me makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. Now, nobody was expecting Heath Ledger to do well in the Joker role, and he kills it. He kills it.
Oh, 100%.
Everybody was expecting Jared Leto to do well in this role, and he destroyed it.
Not a good way.
Like, he just scorched earth. Yeah, it was just horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. It was not good.
So, I mean, I'm not expecting Joaquin to be like the best Joker at all. I'm just like, ah, man, this joint is going to probably be horrible, whatever. So the fact that I'm thinking like that, he may come out and kill it. This may be
absolutely.
This may be an Oscar award winning role right here. But yeah, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So it's just like we look at DC's, you know, track record, and there's a lot. There's some hits. There's definitely some hits. But there are a lot of misses, and it primarily has to do with the cohesion of the story. So
yeah.
So moving on to Marvel Studios, so it, a great picture got circulated last week. Marvel's
This was cool.
Yeah, they hit their 10-year mark, man. We've been on these Marvel movies since 2008, man. It's crazy. 2008, this whole journey started, and 22 plus films have been released since then. And so, you know, they released this 10-year commemoration with a class photo with all the stars of all the movies that have ever been in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for the past 10 years. And it was really epic, man.
It was missing a handful of people.
Yeah.
Nobody ultimately to... Like, look, I don't mean to sound mean and say nobody ultimately too important, but like the Warriors 3 weren't in it.
Right.
Wong, I don't think Wong was in it. Lady Sif wasn't in it. The one person who you could kind of consider a major character who wasn't in it was, and I didn't even notice it until one of our friends pointed it out, was Bradley Cooper.
Right.
I don't think Bradley Cooper was in there anywhere, which is odd now that I think about it, because I don't remember ever actually seeing him really do anything for the Guardians movies.
Mm-hmm.
For as big a part as he is, I don't remember seeing him do any of the press or anything.
Yeah, I don't think he's been doing any of the press. I even saw Vin Diesel there, though. So
Vin Diesel was there. Yeah, well, I think Vin Diesel does everything when it comes down to it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But you didn't see him, and I started thinking about it, and I don't remember seeing him anywhere else either. So I can't imagine it's, you know, he doesn't like being a part of it. He's done, you know, two movies. He's going to do a third one at this point. But just odd that he's the only person that I can't think of that I've ever seen at any event. And maybe he just sees it as like, I'm just doing a voiceover. I'm not really all that important to the, you know, to this kind of thing. But I don't know. But everybody else was there. Like I sat for a minute. And I'm going, I didn't see Chris Evans anywhere. And then I'm looking at the picture. I'm going, oh, there he is. when you sit back and kind of zoom in on the picture, you see most of the people. And it really is a cool picture. I just can't imagine, you know, like actually being in that room with the amount of actors that were in there and people who are in all of the stuff, different stuff that we love. Not even just the Marvel movies, but, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is in there with Sherlock and all that. And
yeah.
Evans from everything he's done. Robert Downey Jr. alone from everything that he's done.
Yeah. But even in interviews, Robert Downey Jr. was starstruck even when he was in that room. Like, that's saying something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, one person that wasn't there that I was kind of hoping would be there was Clark Gregg. I was kind of hoping Clark Gregg would be there, you know?
I think this was really, you know what though, because he was in the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
They said, I read something though. I think he had a conflict. I don't know if he was filming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or he couldn't. There was some reason he couldn't be there because a lot of people said that.
Yeah,
you know, he was at a Comic-Con.
He came out and
said he was there for a reason.
Yeah,
he had to miss it because he had a previous
engagement. Yeah,
but that would have been cool to have him there.
Yeah, that definitely would have been dope. Because I mean, he's been there not even since the Avengers. He's been there since Iron Man. So he was there. He was there in 2008. So, you know, and in my opinion, he's the whole reason why I feel like the Avengers pretty much formed, like why they got together. Like it was right. A little shaky at first, but, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched this, I don't know why you've been listening. What
rock you've been under. Yeah.
But, you know, we lose Phil Coulson in the Avengers, and if his loss of life, is what is the catalyst that brings all the Avengers together, because they know that he believed in them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I mean, I don't know. I still focus some kind of ways. I'm just like, yeah, man. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a great show. I just always felt like, yo, they should have some kind of appearance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. At least Clark Gregg. Like, I just want to know how the other Avengers are going to react when they see that Phil Coulson's still alive. You know.
I mean, I think they should all, from all the TV shows, should make some kind of appearance in one of the movies. And I think at this point, and look, I haven't been, I don't remember every single detail on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm pretty sure at some point, if my memory serves, that Coulson's been on TV shown as a fugitive on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, you know, have you seen this man kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite hidden so much anymore, so they would have to know he's alive
right
now.
Right.
But it would still be cool to have that interaction in the movie of him showing up and them all going, well, you know, nice to know you're alive, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Thanks for writing as, you know, a
some
co-star.
Kind of smart. Yeah, like, I can only imagine the first things out of Tony Stark's mouth when Coulson walks into the room. You know, like, what is, does he just kind of look at him funny and then say, like, you know, just whatever, you know, kind of quip, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is going to have as Tony Stark would be awesome just to see that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I agree with you. I think that's something they should add in. But
yeah.
For me with this whole thing, I watched the video that they had. To me, the thing that was kind of the coolest thing was to actually watch Downey Jr. And he's sitting there and he's going, this is my spot. I'm right here in the middle because it all started with me. It could have very easily been any one of these people up here on stage.
Yep.
But I'm the one who gets to sit. Like, you could just tell by the look on his face and the way he was talking. Now, granted, he's an actor, so who knows. But by the look on his face and the way he was saying it, you could tell that he was really kind of in that moment, like, this is amazing.
Like,
that,
wow.
This gets to be, that it gets to be me who is the centerpiece of all of this.
Yep.
You know, you could just kind of tell that it was really something he was very proud of.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you really think about it, when you think about Robert Downey Jr.'s career, 10 years ago, like, 10 plus years ago, like, I don't know if he really even thought, like, dang, like, this is over for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he pretty much fell apart, you know, so him getting this role in Marvel and, you know, him doing the little indie films that he was doing and garnering interest from Marvel. They finally got interest from Marvel and, like, that taking off, like, it really brought him back to, like, a mainstream focus. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a very humbling experience to see all of this and be like, wow, like, yo, I was part of the movie that started this all. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's legitimately that keystone.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first, it was really the first one they did with a character that really wasn't a huge name character at the time. Like, people who read Marvel Comics know Iron Man. But Iron Man wasn't the first name you think of when you think Marvel. People think Spider-Man, usually first and foremost.
Yeah.
Or they'll think the Hulk, or they'll think sometimes Captain America. Iron Man was really always more of a kind of a secondary character. And then the movie explodes, and it really is the foundation for the entire Marvel universe at this point, Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it's got to be somewhat humbling, and it's you know, looking back at it, there couldn't have been a better person to do it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's been so good. So yeah, it was awesome. I really liked watching that little video and that whole piece of that.
Yeah, that was cool. Oh, well, that rounds out the geek news of the week. So let's move on to our fan casting section. So today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to go back and we're going to recast a movie that's already been out. And we're going to fan cast the Justice League.
Yeah, buddy.
So I'm definitely going to be interested to hear Professor's picks. I'm going to go ahead and start things off. Cause there's only a few people that I changed, and there's a few characters that I rotated out. Because I feel like the story should have been different as well.
Okay.
So I'll tell you, I'll start off with the story. So the story I feel like they focused on was they focused on, you know, the boom tubes and this oncoming threat of apocalypse, and this looming presence of, well, they didn't really hint to, they hinted to it a little bit. They hinted to Darkseid. Because Steppenwolf is
once.
Yeah, like Steppenwolf's trying to get back, so it's like this is the main focus. So we basically Cyborg is what I feel like. Cyborg, Batman, and Diana are basically like the fulcrums of this whole thing. Cyborg for the most part, because he was basically created from the technology that they're trying to hinder or destroy or capture. You know what I'm saying? He
right.
His whole origin story is birthed around the boom tubes. So if I were to redo this story, I wouldn't use Cyborg this round. I wouldn't use him this round. I would build up to this, because I feel like when you're telling this Justice League story, I feel like we should, if we're not getting to it, we're almost at the dark side. You know, we're almost at Darkseid's door. I feel like this was
right.
Way too close to Darkseid to tell this story at this point, especially when we hadn't been introduced to the other characters before. Right. So if I could do anything different, it would be introducing these characters before we got to the big story that I want to tell. So Superman, I would still keep Henry Cavill, because I feel like Henry Cavill has really been doing great as Clark Kent Superman. He's been perfect in that role for me. Ben Affleck, I like this Batman, but we could use somebody different. I thought Ben Affleck was really good. I really enjoyed him as Batman, but it's like, I don't know. Like, dude feels like he's trying to run away. So I'm not trying to keep nobody here who doesn't want to be here. You know what I'm saying? So for me, my picks for Batman Bruce Wayne are going to be two actors that I feel like could really carry it out. And my first choice is Carl Urban, and my second choice is John Hamm. I think that they both could carry out the roles of Batman well. I think Carl Urban more so than John Hamm. I think that they both can carry out the roles of Bruce Wayne well. I think John Hamm better than Carl Urban.
I would say that.
Yeah. So, but I think that there's a side of Carl Urban that I really would be interested in seeing. I remember, and a lot of people don't remember this. There may be a lot of people who do, but Carl Urban's been on Xena, Warrior Princess, and Hercules for like years. That's where I first saw him. He plays Julius Caesar on Xena, which is his main recurring role. And his role as Julius Caesar really pulls off that Bruce Wayne aspect that I would like to see in you know, this buildup. And if we're doing an older, you know, more apprehensive, more distrusting Bruce Wayne, I think Carl Urban would actually really, really pull it off well. If we want to do like more of a younger Bruce Wayne, where he's still keeping up that facade as Bruce Wayne, billionaire playboy, I think that John Hamm would be great. And I think that, you know, as far as action is concerned, you can get anybody to that point. I mean, look at Ben Affleck. You know what I'm saying? He's done like heavy dramatic roles, but like, as far as this action, we've always kind of like, oh, there's always more. He got trained, he got serious, he got into it, and he killed Batman. But he still keeps that grizzled Bruce Wayne as well, but still playing that playboy kind of like puckish rogue type character as well when he has the suit on. So not the Batman suit, but like his regular, you know.
Right, right.
You know, famous rock star suit type deal. But so I would go with either one of those guys as Batman. For Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot's actually been really shining for me. Like, I was really hesitant with Gal Gadot when they first cast her. I was just like, ah, man, I don't really know. Only thing we ever really seen her on was Fast and the Furious. It's like, is that really like a resume that warrants her being here? But Gal Gadot really put in work leading up to Wonder Woman. She was doing other roles that demanded from her dramatically in those films, and she had been really well received by critics, and people were really loving the films that she was putting out. And when she got onto Wonder Woman and did her thing, she kills it for me. I really like the way that she pulls off the naivete of Diana when we first get introduced to her in Wonder Woman. It's one of those things that, you know, it's hard to watch because we get to see Diana. When we first get introduced to her, she's already where she needs to be as a hero. She's like the best version of herself at that time. So as we step back, we watch where she came from. So that's always going to be a hard story to look at, because, you know, your character is going to be annoying because they're still learning and trying to get to who they are. But Gal Gadot really did good in translating from both of those time periods in her life. As far as Diana Prince is concerned, so I'm cool with her still remaining still remaining Wonder Woman. So I rotated Cyborg out for this one, and I feel like we should have Martian Manhunter be the main fulcrum of this story. I was a big fan of the Justice League animated series that was out, and the way that they started that story was by making Martian Manhunter the main fulcrum. He crash lands on Earth. You know, the Justice League is out there looking for all these heroes who are separate entities at first, are looking for this main character, Martian Manhunter. But basically what he's trying to do is trying to prevent like an invasion of sorts that's coming to planet Earth. And so he's trying to, we follow him as he's trying to just make his way in the world and give that warning to the people who need to have that warning. I think that would have been a better story to bring the Justice League together. That way people can understand that, yes, there's a cosmic threat, but we haven't even gotten to the crux of it yet. Like, mentioning Darkseid, dealing with Darkseid, we shouldn't even, like, there should be hints, but we shouldn't be like, okay, the next Justice League movie that comes out, we're going to be fighting Darkseid. That's too much. Like, that's a lot. Slow it down. So, Martian Manhunter would have been the one who I had leaned the main plot on, and I would have cast Peter Mensa as Martian Manhunter. Now, Peter Mensa right now is doing a show on NBC called Midnight Texas, and he's playing a vampire called Lemuel. I can't remember his last name, but it's Lemuel something. But he's been on Spartacus. He was the Doctore. He was the guy who was training all the warriors within the gladiatorial arena. And he's done some other roles here and there as well. But he's just like, he carries himself. Most people will remember him as the guy who got kicked in the pit in 300.
That's right. God.
So yeah, that's where most people will remember Peter Mensa from. But he has a very regal presence about him. And I think that he would be able to carry the almost, I want to say, monotone type proper dialect of John Jones that I would want to see on the big screen. So I'm definitely casting Peter Mensa as Martian Manhunter John Jones.
Okay.
The Flash. Now, let me preface this by saying I did not mind Ezra Miller as The Flash. What I did mind was the implementation of The Flash. Like, I didn't like how the mechanics of his run, I didn't like any of that. Like, I just felt like things could have been better. So for me, I'm going to go back to something that I know me and you have said plenty of times, Professor, is that I don't know why they didn't just move Grant Gustin over to the live screen. I think over to the big screen. I think that Grant Gustin, it has wonderfully mastered the character of Barry Allen. And there's a balance between the awkward, funny, randomness of Barry, and then just the clutch, always ready for duty and ready to handle business Flash. I think he does a great job of that. And like where he is right now in the series is just the best. It's just the best take on the character. Even though like right now I'm kind of like, ah, oh, man, Barry, you're just too good. You're just too good for your own good. You know, but like it balances and it gives you a perspective of the character and lets you see that, you know, even Barry has faults even this far in the game where he should really be like in the best part of his craft. So I like Grant Gustin for Flash, but if they're just like dead up against casting the TV show actors for the main characters, then I'll go with Dylan O'Brien, who I just recently saw in The Maze Runner. I believe it's the Death Cure. Maze Runner, The Death Cure. He's been in the Maze Runner series. He's been in American Assassin. And he was previously on a TV show called Teen Wolf. So he's been killing the game. I would love to see what he does as Barry Allen, because I think that he would come through as a very solid hero and a very solid Barry Allen. So I would like to see what he brings to the table. And just to round things out, instead of Aquaman being introduced in here, because I would like Aquaman to be introduced in his own solo film, and then his world in itself become a threat to Earth where the Justice League needs to get involved. Like the animated films did a really good job in doing that as far as Throne of Atlantis is concerned. Because you give Aquaman an origin story, but you center it around the Justice League. So they all kind of help him as his brother is trying to take over planet Earth because of all the things that have been done, pollution, just the global threats that they've taken on. So that alien invasion from this one would probably impact Atlantis that way and contribute to a story that would come up later on. But I don't want Aquaman in the first one. So
okay, that's fair.
I would be subbing him out for Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. And my two picks for those are Garrett Hedlund, who we've seen in the Tron Legacy, Four Brothers. He's been in like tons of other stuff, but I think he would be a great pick for this role. We need someone who's kind of like cocky flyboy type deal. Back in the day, I would have said Tom Cruise, but I just think that he's past that point now. So it's either Garrett Hedlund or another pick for me would be Armie Hammer. And Armie Hammer's done what was the spy movie he just did with Henry Cavill?
Oh God.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Yes.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
So he did Man from U.N.C.L.E. and he's been in a lot of other stuff. He was actually supposed to play Batman in an original and another original like telling of the Justice League. I think that was supposed to be done by who was that supposed to be done by? I can't remember. I think it might have been Guillermo? Nah, that might have been Justice League Dark.
That was Justice League Dark, yeah, for sure. Justice League Dark, which would have been amazing.
Yeah,
but
yeah. But Armie Hammer would be a great Hal Jordan. And I mean, the jury's still out because rumor is that if Green Lantern is supposed to be making an appearance in the DCEU, I've been hearing a lot of talk about Armie Hammer being Hal Jordan. And so either one of those guys would be a great pick for Green.
I'd say so.
Yeah. So that's all my pick, and that's my story for the Justice League recast reboot. So what you got for us?
All right, fair enough. So I went a little different. I just went with the characters. I wasn't really thinking too much of the story.
Right.
The only one I really didn't recast was what I didn't really put anything towards was Aquaman, because I like Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I don't think he was appropriate as Aquaman, personally. I think it should have been somebody else. But I couldn't come up with anybody to put in his place, so I didn't pick anybody for Aquaman. But it's funny, as you're talking, I'm looking, our lists are very similar in some of the names we came across. So Superman, I would agree. I would keep Henry Cavill, because I think he's been pretty good. A couple little tweaks here and there I think I would make for certain scenes, but I think he's been really good as far as the character itself, you know, and playing both Kent and Superman. Wonder Woman, I also agree. I very much like Gal Gadot, or Gadot, however you pronounce her last name. It seems to change every week. I think she was really good. I think she was surprisingly good as the character. I thought excellent. One of the only good parts I actually liked about Batman versus Superman was her character.
Yeah.
The movie, again, the Wonder Woman movie, I enjoy the first two-thirds of the movie. I hate the last third of it, but that's a whole other story. So I think she's excellent as that character. Now, because it's me and I have to give a shout out to some other kind of actress, I would, of course, because I would cast her in anything, would say Kate Beckinsale also for Wonder Woman. But we'll leave Gal Gadot for now. Gal Gadot, however we say it.
Yeah.
I 100% agree Grant Gustin should be the Flash in the movie.
Yeah.
I personally didn't care for Ezra Miller, but I haven't really cared for Ezra Miller in most things I've seen him in. I liked him okay as Barry Allen. I thought he was a little too quirky, but I liked him as Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Didn't like him as the Flash at all.
Yeah.
The running style is goofy. I don't know who told him to run like that, but that's how he actually runs. But I wasn't a fan of him. I think Gustin is so good as both characters, as Barry Allen, excuse me, as Barry Allen and as the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just having that tie into the fan base that's already watching the show,
right,
just makes that much more sense to bring him in. I don't see anybody who would make more sense than having him transition into the movie. Along the same lines, I would add Green Arrow to the movie. And I would keep Stephen Amell because I think he's also very good as both Oliver Queen and as the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
For the same reasons, really, with Gustin. I think with the fan base they have, would bring more people to the movie. And I think they're both just really good at those characters. So I would really like to see... I think that transition to the big screen would be good. And it's something that Marvel's not doing.
Right.
You know, which is some of the things that DC should kind of look at as ways to...
set themselves apart.
Set themselves apart. Yeah, kind of one-up Marvel a little bit. And, you know, I think that all just makes that much more sense. Now, is it harder on the actors? Sure, because they got to do the TV show and the movie. But if you do it in kind of that off-season, you've got time. You know, now, granted, they won't have time to do much else, but I can't imagine these guys turning down big money to be in these movies. So.
Right.
For Cyborg, I went a little different direction. I kind of made him a little bit older.
Okay.
Maybe as a character who's existed for a while. Mm-hmm. And I went with someone we kind of maybe touched on earlier. I went with Richard Brooks, who was Jubal Early in Firefly.
Yeah, yeah. And he's on currently on Flash right now, right?
He is currently on Flash right now. He plays the Warden. Well, he played the Warden. I think he's a great actor. I think he's got that. He's got one of those awesome voices. I think he would be really cool as kind of that monotone character who's still got that little dry wit side to him.
Yeah.
That would make a really good Cyborg, like an older Cyborg who's maybe been around for a while. So for the Bat, I kind of, it's funny because we both said John Hamm. I agree with you. I think John Hamm would be really good.
Right.
I personally don't have any problem with Affleck. If I would like to see him stay, I've liked him as Bruce Wayne. I really liked him as Batman. I think he would be good, but it doesn't feel like he's going to stick around.
Yeah.
So John Hamm is one of those that I would pick. The other one that I kind of picked, for very similar reasons that you picked, the other one I thought would be interesting would be Clive Owen.
Oh,
and I've seen his name tossed around a little bit as that. I think he's kind of got that feel to him, too. Very similar to John Hamm, where he could be kind of the goofier, more outgoing Bruce Wayne character. But at the same time, he would be that really kind of dark Batman as well. Because he's been in plenty of action films where he's got that dark side to him.
Oh, like, yeah.
Shoot 'Em Up is another one of my guilty favorite movies. It's not a great movie, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I think he would be an interesting second option. The last one I added was I also added Green Lantern, but I kind of went with three different choices. So there's been a zillion Green Lanterns, right?
Right.
So I kind of looked at the potential of three different guys. I kind of looked at Hal Jordan. I looked at John Stewart. And okay. I looked at, what's his name?
Guy Gardner?
Guy Gardner. Oh. Thank you.
Okay.
Now, remember, these are obviously our picks. They could be anybody we want. We could pull them from anywhere. It doesn't matter if it makes a whole lot of sense. They may have done something else already, but this is what I went with.
Okay.
So I think if you're casting Guy Gardner,
okay,
I think Chris Pine is probably perfect.
Okay.
I know we've seen him already as Steve Trevor, but I think, you know, Gardner was always kind of a smaller guy, a real smart-ass kind of guy. I think Pine kind of just exudes that character would be fantastic.
Especially as Kurt, man.
Especially as Kirk, yeah. If you're going John Stewart, this one was a little tougher for me.
Okay.
But I started thinking about it, and I went with Ricky Whittle.
Yo!
Ricky Whittle was the main character from American Gods.
Yes, yes.
I think he would be awesome as John Stewart.
You, like, right out of my head, you picked that guy. Perfect.
He would be really, really good. Now, the final pick I made was for Hal Jordan. And this is one of those where it's, look, I can pick whoever I want because I'm the one doing the casting. My perfect Hal Jordan, Chris Pratt. I think Chris Pratt would be an amazing Hal Jordan. He's got that ability to be really serious, but he's also got that really goofball side to him that I think makes Jordan the character that he is. I think Chris Pratt would be amazing as Hal Jordan.
Yeah, he would. He would.
So those were my picks for the Justice League going through.
Nice. Solid picks.
All
right. Yeah, folks. So there's our fan cast, you know. So we're going to do something a little different. So if you guys are listening and you got a fan cast for who you would pick in the Justice League recast, just shoot us an email. Shoot us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com or just send us a message on Facebook. If we pick it and we look at it, we pick it apart, we'll either air it out here on the podcast and sing its praises, or we'll rip it to shreds because we're like that.
Right. Which means he'll sing the praises and I'll rip it to shreds because that's just how it works. So
we got the logos there for a specific reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah. So yeah. So we look forward to hearing from you guys and seeing what you you think about this fan cast.
Yeah, let us know your picks too, because we'd love to see it.
Yeah, definitely. So next up, in theaters this week. Yo.
I'm just gonna sit back, ladies and gentlemen, and let the boss take care of this section.
4 days.
We're gonna be
my
here
guys.
For about another hour.
4 days. Wakanda Forever. I'm saying, Black Panther is coming out this weekend. Hold the phone. Don't look at nothing else. It doesn't matter what else is out. There's one other movie that's out. It's called Early Man. It's by the same people who made Wallace and Gromit. But we don't care because Black Panther is coming out. It's the only thing that matters. Buy your tickets.
Most people aren't going to go see. Most people aren't going to see Early Man this week.
Yeah. See, my
Maybe
only thing
next
is.
Week you'll get some stragglers.
Tom Hiddleston is in there, so people may go see it. People may.
Sure they will.
But I don't know if they're going to see it over Black Panther. Like, I'm just going to put that out there. Oh, so I'm very excited about this week. I got my tickets for Friday, Saturday. I'll be getting my tickets for Sunday. So by the time we have this podcast next week, I will have seen this movie 4 times.
700 times somehow between now and next Monday.
100 million times. Oh, man. So
it's going to cost him $1,000 in backup theme music as they follow him to the theater.
Yes.
And from the theater.
Yes, from the theater, replacing my chairs in every theater. It's just, it's going to be a production, to say in the least. Oh, but obviously I'm excited. This is going to be...
no!
Just in case you couldn't tell, I'm very
that's
excited.
Right.
This is just going to be a great time funny. At the movies, folks. Like, this is a big freaking deal. So, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait to really, like, dissect it and talk about it on next week's podcast. Man, it's going to be fun. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So that's what's coming out this week. So get ready, guys. Get your tickets. Get your tickets. They're on sale. So now we're going to do a little section that we introduced a couple podcasts ago. And basically, it's just going to be our boss picks. So basically, anything that we're watching on TV, playing on our game systems, or anything that we just saw in theaters, we're going to suggest it. And hey, check it out. So, my pick for this week, I don't believe I said this before. My pick for this week is going to be The Good Place. Good Place is a show that's on NBC, I believe, right now. It's on NBC right now. It's starring, what is her name? Veronica Mars. I can't remember. Kristen Bell. Yeah, starring Kristen Bell. And it's a show about where you go after you die. And it's like it explores a lot of ideas within the philosophical realm. And it does it in the most comedic way possible. So it's just like the way that it unfolds, you really got to pay attention to every detail, see all the twists and turns, all the holes that these characters have to go through, but it's so much fun and it challenges you to think and just have a good time in the show. I believe it's a half hour show. I think it's only a half hour, but it's great. It's great. And comedically, I'm just having the best time watching this show. So if you guys get an opportunity, check it out. I believe it comes on Wednesdays. I want to say, it comes on Wednesdays. Right now, I think the season finale is already aired. So you can catch season one on Netflix, and you can probably catch up on demand on this current season. So, yeah, I'm definitely suggesting to you guys, go watch The Good Place. It's so much fun.
It's cool. I haven't watched it all. I've heard about it, but I've never watched it. So maybe I'll check that out.
Yeah, I heard it exists in the same universe as Parks and Rec. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So if anybody's a fan of that show, you'll definitely get a kick out of The Good Place.
So I had one in mind, but then you went and mentioned Kristen Bell, and I figure I'll follow the theme of Kristen Bell, and I'll go back to a show that's not on the air anymore. Oh, okay. Ended probably maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, was on Showtime. It's one of my all-time favorite shows and only made it through, I think, 5 seasons. It's a show called House of Lies.
Yeah.
House of Lies, the main star, of course, my man Don Cheadle. Who, I love Don Cheadle. Just everything that man's in is awesome.
Yeah.
It basically plays the guy. It plays a guy who runs. Initially, he's part of an ad company. Well, not really an ad company per se. So the premise of what they do is there's a group of people. It's a firm that goes into another company and helps them reinvent themselves so that they can get back on the market, make more money than their competitors. Things of that, like things of that nature. It's kind of hard to explain without actually watching the show, but it's such a good show. It's dramatic. It's funny. It's hard hitting in a lot of places. It's such a good cast. Kristen Bell, Don Cheadle. I can't think of the other actors' names, but there's a bunch of guys here and there that you would know by seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so good. Don Cheadle is so good in the show. He's so funny. It's just, it's hard to explain without going to see it. I would recommend going to check it out, House of Lies, if you like kind of those dramatic shows where there's all kinds of like twists and turns, you know, in a long run of things where people are stabbing each other in the back left and right, you know, when they're trying to win these big contracts for their company, and then he eventually goes on to try and make his own company. It's just such a good show. I would definitely check it out. Don't know that it would necessarily be on demand anymore because it did end, like I said, about 2 years ago, I think. But it's just, it's a lot of fun to watch. You watch the first couple episodes, I think you get hooked on it. It's such a good show. House of Lies with Don Cheadle and Kristen Bell. That's my recommendation this week.
Nice, nice. So those are your boss picks for this week, man. Just go check out those shows, man. They're really good. You'll really enjoy them, especially if you're a fan of the cast and these shows and movies that we talk about. They're definitely be up your alley. So check them out. All right, so let's get into some reviews. We got some TV stuff we can talk about this week. A couple shows came on last week. Supergirl, Black Lightning, The Flash, Arrow. So let's run through them. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. obviously is not on because we talked about it last week. They're all on hiatus for the month of February, so that's a hurt piece. But, you know, February will, you know, these weeks be going by quick, so, you know, we'll be back on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, come March. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's talk about Supergirl. Did you check it out, Professor?
I am still behind on both Supergirl. I'm still behind on both Supergirl and Black Lightning. I have not caught up to them just yet. I have every intention to. I just haven't done it.
All right.
But I am up with Flash and Arrow, so I can kind of talk on those. Unfortunately, I can't talk much on Supergirl and Black Lightning just yet.
Okay.
All right. So I will let you handle those for this week.
All right. So I'll do Supergirl first, and then we'll get into some Flash, and then we'll switch back to Black Lightning, and then end it all with Arrow. So all right. So Supergirl this past week, the episode title was Both Sides Now. And it's centered around the whole team trying to find another world killer that had surfaced. So they know that there's three of these world killers. Rain is the main one that's out right now. We know that she's being played by Odette Annabelle, who's Samantha Arias in the show. We know Sam is Rain. And she has these blackout moments, and she turns into this world killer destroyer who has put the hurting down on Supergirl quite a few times. I mean, this is a serious threat. I mean, we always crack jokes about Barry on The Flash, how first couple seasons my man was getting paraded around town by all his villains. This is one of those villains for Supergirl. She got trampled. So, you know, needless to say, pride and ego took a strike, and you know she's been hurting these past couple episodes because of Rain, because now Monel is back, and Monel is not only back, he's got a whole wife now, so it's like, oh, it's just awkward. So for him, it's been like 7 years, and for her, it's been like a couple months. So with all of that, her trying to tackle these world killers, it's a lot going on. But we get the second world killer, who is, I want to say, Serenity is her name or something like that. It's like Peace or something. Some kind of, I don't know, some kind of crazy name that they give these world killers. But so so they basically come to this girl's house and she kind of blacks out and then starts taking everybody down. So what she does is she emits this frequency, kind of like Silver Banshee or like Black Canary, but it's a frequency that's specifically designed to crush Kryptonians. So, needless to say, Kara's just getting the beat down. She is just not winning at all. These past couple episodes have been rough for Kara. So, yeah. But, she's trying to track down this world killer, trying to save her, basically comes to the end of it, and it's just like, Rain finally takes her in. There's nothing left for them to do. They had her at once, and then they lose her at the end of the episode. It's just kind of rough to see all these setbacks that Kara's kind of going through these past couple of episodes, because it's really testing her mettle. She's not giving up, but it's like she's really getting worked over this season. I find this interesting because we're dealing with a superpower being that's along the same levels of Superman. Now, in the comics, she has the potential to be stronger than Superman because she can metabolize the sun a lot better than Kal-El can, because Kal-El's been on this earth since he was born. So It's just like to watch this type of character get crushed the way that she's been getting crushed these past couple episodes, not just physically, but emotionally, everything that she's dealing with Mon-El. And come to find out this episode, Mon-El still has feelings for her. So it's like, yo, it's causing a strain between him and his lady. Like, yo, it's bananas. Like, this is a rough one. And all the while, like, Makai Brooks is not even, like, we haven't even seen him. We haven't seen James or Guardian at all in these past couple episodes. So I don't know what's going on with him. I'm pretty sure he's just, like, at Cat Code Media just doing his thing. But it's like, it's really been the focus of these episodes have been for Kara, for Mon-El. We've been focusing a little bit on Alex Danvers, and I know Professor isn't really a big fan of this story arc, but she's still reeling from losing her girl because they were supposed to get married and that didn't work out. So right. It's just like, yo, oh, this is like everybody's having a crappy season except for maybe Martian Manhunter and Wynn. Wynn's having a good season. So going back to Sam, it's like she's struggling with this whole aspect of losing time, and it's freaking her out because she's like she's losing. She's saying that she's going on these business trips, and then she loses days.
Right.
And with this episode, it kind of came to a head because she who was it? Lena gave her the day off. She goes to spend some time with her daughter. They go ice skating and she blacks out in the ice rink and leaves her daughter there. So it's like, yo, it's getting bad to the point now you leaving your kid in danger. Like she doesn't know what to do. She's freaking out as a parent. Like you would expect any parent to act like something needs to happen because my kid is in danger now. Now this is serious.
Yeah.
Before it was fine. It was just me. But now my kid is involved. I need to get something done. So they're trying to figure out, and I think Lena may actually be onto it. I think she may understand exactly what's going on. I think she knows that she's a world killer. So maybe we'll get that when the show returns, back in April. But yeah, I mean, the show's been really good, really testing of our heroes. And this is the kind of storytelling I want to see, especially when you're dealing with a character like Supergirl, because she's Supergirl. So it's like her threats have to be much more risk involved than any of the other shows. You know what I'm saying? Because, okay, we're right. dealing with augmented humans in these other series, or you're just dealing with a really skilled human like Ollie. But with Supergirl, it's just there's all ability, and she's born to be this way. And so having her take L's the way that she's been taking them this past season has just been rough to see, man. So the series is great. The series is great. I'm with it. It's definitely grown since first season. So I'm loving it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I'm taking your word for it. At some point, I'll catch up.
Yeah.
I just haven't had the time just yet.
So let's dive into Flash. So what you think of Flash, man?
Okay. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's so good. It's just good in general right now. You know what I mean? Like the stories. I don't know where the story is going at this point, you know, with what's his name? What's the bad guy's name?
Thinker, DeVoe.
DeVoe. Thank you. I couldn't think of DeVoe. You know, now he's like changing bodies every episode. Now he's in a woman's body.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, what? Like, where's this going?
Yup.
With this? You know, and the wife is obviously having some issues now, and she's doing whatever she can to keep him out of her head. You know, and he's grabbing up all these metas, like absorbing all their powers. And now, you know, his focus is on Elongated Man. I always forget what his real name is, too.
Oh, what is his name?
It's like Frank something, right?
Ralph Dibny.
Ralph Dibny. Thank you, Ralph. Yeah. Frank. Ralph. So it's getting interesting, man. I really want to see where this is going to go. You know, Barry had his chance to get out, but he stayed in. You know, so then they bring Dibny in. Spoiler if you haven't watched last week's episode, you know, because it was a really kind of very interesting ending.
Yeah.
You know, brief pause. Okay. You know, so Dibny finds out he can make himself look like anybody he wants. So now he puts himself in a wheelchair looking like DeVoe, who we saw killed, you know, two or three episodes ago, and he frees Barry, essentially tells him, you know, it was a misunderstanding. I was okay. I walked out. You know, now look, it's a stretch. The police picked up the body, the man was dead. I'm pretty sure he was in a morgue at some point. How they're just accepting the fact that he's now alive again in a wheelchair without any kind of questioning. Not quite sure. That's might be a little bit too far beyond the suspension of disbelief, but it was an interesting way to try to make it work, to try to get Barry out, and now he's out. So I can't see the way that they're going to defeat this guy at this point, outside the wife having something to do with it.
Yeah.
But it's just been so good this season. It's been good the last couple seasons.
Yeah, man. So and you know, we were talking about this the other day. You know, I knew that, you know, him like DeVoe switching bodies was going to cause a strain on that relationship there, man. Because it's like, yo, we were like, oh man, it's hard to be against this particular bad guy because it seems like what he's trying to do is build Barry to be better for some reason. And at this point we're watching him kind of like lose the faculties of his body. And his wife is super supportive and she's standing there by him and they're just, you know, they're going shoulder to shoulder, Bonnie and Clyde, ride or die. Like, love it. I was like, the only thing that was going to destroy all of that is if he becomes power hungry. And that's basically what we're seeing is him.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And it's like the more we're seeing him gain more powers, he's warping, he's twisting. Like now he's a woman. So it's just like, yo, it's like, okay, your wife was barely getting used to the new form that you had. Now you're giving her another form, which is completely different from what she's used to. She just wants her husband back.
Yep. Right. And now she's got a wife, I guess? Like, I'm not quite sure how they're trying to spin that, but it's weird. Like, it's getting very bizarre, but it's so good. It's so well-written the way they're doing it so far.
Yeah. So
she's blocking him out by just singing that one song to herself over and over, and he's like, I know that song. Why do you keep singing it? It makes it really hard to read your mind when you're singing that song. It's good, man.
Yeah, it plays on itself too, because it's like, yeah, she's trying to block him out her mind, but it's a double edged sword because what she's trying to do is get inside his and be like, hey, don't forget, like, yo, we're together. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what's we're losing more of DeVoe's humanity as he's gaining more power. You know?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent way to put it. Yeah, he really is.
So it'll be interesting to see where this goes down the line. And now that Dibny is kind of like the center of it all, because I really liked him. He's been a great addition to the cast. I was really hesitant at first. I was like, Elongated Man? That's so random.
Yeah, it was kind of a bizarre choice, but it's played out. It's worked out for him so far.
Yeah, yeah. And how about Cecile with this whole mind reading thing? That's been fun. It worked out in their favor for this episode, but last week it was kind of rough. So
yeah. Poor Joe.
Yeah, he was struggling. He's like, oh man, I don't know if I can get used to this.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think that she's going to be a big part of how they bring down DeVoe too, because she can read his mind.
Yeah,
the way
yeah.
he can read everybody else's. So.
Right, right.
So curious to see what role she's going to. She's got to have some kind of a bigger role.
Yeah.
Before the season's over, it just seems to be headed that way.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So I'm definitely loving the show. This season's been strong, but I think Flash has been strong since day one. They've come out the gate guns blazing. And
oh yeah.
Yeah, they really have jumped on the trampoline set by Arrow to really create a series that's just worthwhile. So.
And they're doing it well.
Yes.
That's the killers. They're doing it really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's look at let's go into Black Lightning. Let's go into Black Lightning a little bit. So last week we got more of Black Lightning's daughter experimenting with her powers. So she can change her density, so that makes her like super strong, super durable. So we're watching her like kind of like take punks out, basically, as she's learning her powers. She's learning like these things, like these abilities come at a cost, because you know she basically she's breaking these dudes. So she had to call an ambulance for one person. Like it was just rough, and then like she destroys like a whole parking lot at one point in the episode, taking out some thugs who like roughed up her girl. Like it's just like, yo, the extent of her abilities is going to be interesting to see as the series goes on. I like about this show the most is the character exploration, because And see, this is the thing. It's like this show has the potential to be something really great, or this is something that could end up shooting it in the foot. But right now, it's making it work. The heavy lean on drama in this show is allowing us to get an intimate look at these characters as we dive deeper in the story. But it's different from the other superhero shows, because at least within Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, there's a main villain arc that we're following. We follow the main villain arc, but then within each episode, there is a threat that the character has to take on. But with Black Lightning, we're kind of just following the one arc, and he's like trying to take down this main character from all of these side ventures that are going on, whether drugs are being circulated, his daughters get kidnapped, but like each event kind of dives him deeper into the Black Lightning hole, a hole that he really was like at first hesitant to get into. But now that he realizes what he needs to do, after losing a former student in the previous episodes, he lost a former student because she was trying to find her daughter. Her daughter was being sold out for tricks and whatever at this one hotel. He goes up there and gets called out because Black Lightning was he only saved his daughters. So it's like now he's getting pulled into it. You see him getting pulled into it in the exploration of this character development as he's becoming more Black Lightning. And then just the side stories, like his daughter Jennifer Pierce right now, she was like dating this guy and he got shot in this altercation, this protest that they were trying to have against the main gang that they're all trying to fight against in this show. And so watching her deal with the fact that I guess you could argue the first person that she's ever really loved had any feelings for is like now paralyzed. It's like watching the emotional torment that like he got shot. Now he can't move. Like this is like, it's rough. Like this is not like your typical superhero show. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is a heavy drama. And I see why they're playing it and how they're playing it all. It's like if you do it well and you build up to something, this could be a really good feature of the show. But then it also slow it down because people are like, oh, what are the escalating threats What's the group that everybody's looking for? The same format that we got before. You know what I'm saying? First, you have the solo hero. Then after a while, the team gets made, and then the team takes on these threats every right. episode. But this is like a family drama for the most part. And then like him being a superhero feels very secondary. So that could come back to shoot them in the foot at the end. But so far, I'm loving it. You know, it looks like in the trailer, we're getting teased that Jennifer's powers are going to start rising up. So it's like, oh, all right. So now we got three superpowered beings in this show, and we get to explore them. We also got I think we get. Did we get introduced to Jill Scott's character in this one, or was it? It was the last episode. Jill Scott's killing it. She comes on as like the queen pin, and she's like cold, calculated. She does not care about anybody in these streets. She just wants her money. Like, yo, it's wild. So I'm loving these characters and how they're getting introduced and showcased and just the drama aspect of the show. I just hope that it doesn't become so overwhelming that we don't get to see the superhero side of this, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to lose the actual point of the show right. in the long run.
Yeah, so that's my only fear, but so far I'm loving the character development. I'm just hoping that it's building to something worthwhile. So that's the payoff. Yeah.
It's definitely still on my, like, I just finally started recording it. So, you know, I'm trying to catch up and see what I've missed. I enjoyed the first episode.
Yeah.
I just haven't had the time to sit down and watch the rest of them yet.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it.
Yep. So, let's round it out with Arrow.
All right.
So what you think of last week? Last week was pretty intense.
I thought last week was very intense.
Yeah.
They've got the main villain, whose name I'm never going to remember. I'm horrible at remembering names
on
the show.
Aiden Pierce. Yeah.
You know, basically holding the entire city hostage, saying, look, you bring these people to me or I'm killing everybody. And you're like, okay. Like, now what happens? So
right.
now, you know, they got to put all their differences aside and work as one team again. To bring in, you know, Black Siren, they're calling her, and then the other two, you know, because now, you know, Pierce knows that one of his people is the one who killed his son.
Right.
They know it's all, you know, it was all set up. The video was faked. You know, so now he wants to know who it is. And he's, you know, Black Siren, I believe, is the one. She comes forward. She says, oh, it was me. And it really wasn't. You know, it was good. It's good, man. It's good. It's been getting better. You know, I think Green Arrow hit a lull for a little bit where it wasn't as good as it was initially, but it's really starting to kind of catch a groove again. And I think the way last week played out, you know, with the, you know, finally revealing who really was is behind everything and, you know, kind of what his intention is, was really good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And you know, they set up next week, where for some reason they don't really explain it, but you know they're going after the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Trying to bring them in for some reason. You don't really know what's going on. Yep. So it was a good tease. You know, I don't know if that's, I don't know if Flash and Arrow are on hiatus now or if they're both still going. I don't remember.
I think they're still, Flash and Arrow are still going. No. We don't get a new episode until March 1st. So we're chilling right now. It's just going to be the Legends.
Okay.
So
that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
See, they're finally getting into the shows. Now they're putting them away for a couple weeks.
Yeah. So. See, and that's the catch 22. It's like, because you kind of feel like, oh, okay, well, I was always kind of worried, like, all right, you guys are doing a lot of spinoffs. Now we got a lot of Arrowverse shows, Pocket Universe shows, like all of these superhero shows. Are you going to have enough days for all of these and still introduce the shows that you still regularly broadcast? So, I mean, I guess this is the way that they're getting around it, because you can tell that story, you can tell the Legend story whenever you want to, because they time travel.
Right.
You can tell Supergirl whenever you want, because she's in a pocket universe. And the same thing with, I mean, it's still up in the air, but it's the same thing with Black Lightning. Right now, we're supposed to assume that Black Lightning is in his own pocket universe, the Lightningverse. But,
right.
My hope is that in some way, shape, or form, they bring him into the Arrowverse and we get, you know, we get some of the characters from Arrow over on Black Lightning. Who knows? But
I think it'll happen.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the whole thing that's been happening is Kaden James has been trying to break the team up because he knows that divided, they will fall. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically right. what this is. So the hope is that the teams finally get that they have to work together in order for this to work. So,
right.
you know, if that's what's on the forefront, then, you know, the team separating and going and doing their own thing, you know, possibly in Black Lightning may not happen because the mission here is them getting back together. So once they get back together, that's going to be the turn of events that says, all right, now everything's going to go back into our favor, you know? So, but yeah, I'm loving the series. I'm loving the series so far. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens this week, because I need to understand, like, how is it that bad that you guys are fighting each other? Like, I know that y'all been through some stuff this season, but that's
what I'm saying. Like, what happened between the end of the last episode and the beginning of this one where they're going to be going after each other?
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely curious now to see where this is going to go. And yeah. we got to wait a couple weeks.
Yep.
But we'll see.
So, we'll see. But, it's definitely going to be a good one. But, that's it for the TV reviews. We don't really have anything today in the form of movie reviews. So, we'll just save that all for next week.
Because it's all going to be about one thing next week, ladies and gentlemen. One just so you all know ahead of time.
One thing. I might go see 15-17 of Paris tomorrow. So, might add that.
I was going to say, no, you won't.
After Thursday?
You start to say it. Yeah, after Thursday, there's only one thing.
Yeah, after Thursday, there's only one movie in theaters. There's only one movie that exists.
If for some reason you listen for me, ladies and gentlemen, next week, you could probably take a break because I'm not going to be allowed to say much. Just because somebody's not gonna breathe, I'm quite sure, when
it's next, like, no, next you're telling it comes wrong. Around. You are telling the story yeah. wrong. That's not how it went.
So what did you think, Professor? Well, I thought that too. All right then.
It's like, all right, I'll be quiet. I'm just gonna sit on the side. I thought I could say, shut up.
Next week, I may have to do the podcast introduction because that may be the only time you hear my voice the entire show. Yeah. So we'll see how that works.
Oh man. Yeah, there's really nothing coming out that I'm interested in over the next couple of weeks. So
not until
March. So
until March. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Well, yeah, man. So
you wanna plug the gaming day one more time?
Yeah, let's plug that again. Let's plug that again because you can never say that enough. And we definitely need to get it out there. So this year, we're doing something a little different. The bosses are giving back. And what we decided to do was we decided to get involved with the Extra Life fundraising campaign. So what that is, you know, on November the 3rd, we're all going to get together. And we're going to, for 24 hours nonstop, we're going to be playing games. And what we're doing is running this game marathon to raise money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. This is our local Children's Miracle Network Hospital, and we want to gain funds and donate them to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So we'll play for 24 hours. You guys will probably get to see us online because I definitely want to do a stream of this because this is going to
be ridiculous. Oh, boy. It's going to be... gonna be ugly.
Especially since it's November 3rd, you might see, I mean, you're definitely going to see some World War II, some Call of Duty World War II. You're probably going to see some Division. I'm probably going to try and get some Final Fantasy in there if there's anything new out. Red Dead Redemption's coming out in October, so
forgot about that.
Yeah, so we're gonna be out in the Wild West getting into some dangerous crimes as criminals robbing trains.
I will say this up front too, while it will be a charity event, it will more than likely be a not safe for work stream.
Yeah. So,
speaking for myself alone, yeah, there's just some words that may be invented when I play games.
Especially when we get our crew involved, when our guys get involved, it's high emotions. and, you know, all kinds of expletives, and we kill each other, and it's not even on purpose. So
it's not. Well, at least we don't think it is.
We'll tell you a story.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little story about the professor sitting by his lonesome in a little flower bed. The boss coming over, staring at him for 5 minutes, and then stabbing him in the head for some reason.
Now, to be fair, I looked this character up and down maybe 10, 15 times. There was no name placed over this character's head. Do I take
for
the chance?
Fact that I said,
or do I kill this guy?
Except for the fact that I had already said, yo, I'm right here with you. And he still stabbed me and killed me.
Oh, you said that? Oh, man.
I did, yeah. See? this is how it works. This is why it's tough to play games with the boss sometimes.
Oh, man. I'm just out to try to make sure that I live at the end of this.
Yeah, exactly.
So, zombie apocalypse? I don't know. You may not want to run with me.
No, I wouldn't recommend it. I would not recommend it. Let's put it that way.
But yeah, so November 3rd, guys, we're going to get together for a 24-hour period, play these games, live stream, live game cast, but we're asking for you guys to help us, you know, so just donate whatever you can. We're not asking for a fixed amount. We're just trying to raise funds. Right now, our goal is for $200, but anything over that, you know, is just cake, and we'd love to raise as much as we can. We'd love to surpass what we're expecting for this event.
Absolutely.
Because this would just be a great opportunity to show some love to some sick kids who really need the help. So, you know, we'll have all the information on this podcast page. I actually do another share on our Facebook page, and that'll automatically go over to our Twitter page. So in whatever way, shape, or form you guys get to us, you'll have information on how you can donate and in the details of this particular charity event that we're going to do. And it's going to be fun, man. Not only with the game cast, I'm going to try and do some video, have some friends over. You'll see people come throughout the day and visit, and we'll have a good time, and we'll party, and we'll play these games, and just really give back to the people who need it and deserve it the most. So, yeah, man. So I have the details, and you click on the donate link, and we'll appreciate anything that you guys can give us. We appreciate you here at the Boss's Desk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook under the Boss's Desk, Twitter at the Boss's Desk, and YouTube, the Boss's Desk as well. We're also on iTunes and Google Play, so you can subscribe to this podcast and get updates as we release them. If you have any questions about anything you heard in the show or any news items that you want us to talk about, just send us your questions or your info on Twitter. Just tweet at the Boss's Desk or send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com with your questions, and share them. And we might put them up here on the show and cast them when we do our podcast regularly. So, that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. We will catch you guys next week. Later.
See you.